Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and joining me now from, I think somewhere in Wisconsin, is...
Yeah, northern Wisconsin.
There you go. Is a very, very noted writer, Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here. Still traveling, but I'll probably be heading back in a few days. May take a while to get there.
How much of a road trip is that?
Well, it's about 2,500 miles from here. But I had several stops along the way.
That's what I was going to say.
There was one time when I was young and, well, let's say less than cautious.
Right.
When I do the whole thing in one set.
One go round.
Well, not one. You know, that was dumb. But
well, I mean, I would think it's a little more enjoy. Every moment I spend on this earth, I'd like to enjoy. So it's probably a little more enjoyable to take it in little segments here and there. Little segments here
and
there.
I think it is.
Yeah. Anyway, anyhow, I did not know that they had brown bears in Italy.
They do. And they've had them there forever, it turns out.
Right.
In fact, it turns out the bears in Europe and in most of Asia, there's some subspecies when you get down in India and into more of the tropics. But most of the bears in Eurasia are essentially the same as the American grizzly bear. They're known as the European brown bears. When if you read about David killing a bear that was killing his sheep as a shepherd, that would have been a European brown bear, or essentially a grizzly bear. And what happened is that because people, with as soon as they got weapons that were about as effective as a spear and a few dogs, they would not tolerate bears hanging around their communities because bears were dangerous and they'd, you know, kill their livestock or compete for food or maybe take a person every now and then. And so they would hunt them and drive them away. And as the European communities expanded, you know, getting bigger and more efficient at raising food, bears were not tolerated and they're driven further and further away. And by the 1900s, bears were gone from most of civilized, you know, acidified Europe. And these bears have existed in the remote Alps, you know, in the remote mountain areas where it's very hard to get to. There always have been a few brown bears. And they became very cautious about getting close to people. So there were just a few left, but then they decided to import some that existed in some of the very dense forested regions of Eastern Europe. And because bears are protected, these bears were not fearful of people. And this particular bear had already mauled a couple of people, I think a couple of years, a few months ago or like a year ago. And then they killed this guy that was jogging, running for exercise in northern Italy. And the bear got hold of him and killed him. Let's see, it was 2020 when it attacked a father and a son, same bear, as I understand. And so it's just reinforcing what humans have known for most of the time that they've been around bears, which is most of the time humans have been around, and that is that bears are dangerous, big, predatory animals, and it's dangerous to have them around. And bears were eliminated. I was surprised to learn this. They were eliminated from England during the medieval period.
Right.
And the only bears that came into England, or that they found in England from about around 1500 or so, maybe even earlier, were bears that were captured somewhere else and imported to England to be there for entertainment. And other than that, bears have not existed in England for hundreds of years. So we now have bears being imported into northern Italy and other places. They're in France. I don't know for sure if there's any in Germany yet. And there are some. There have always been some in Sweden and Norway, you know, in the more remote areas. And they're under some protection. They do hunt them in Sweden and Norway, I think. But where they're under protection and they don't have to worry about any humans, they just, you know, start the same as what happens in the United States. No fear of humans, they start taking human livestock and not worrying about human presence and being a danger to humans. So that's what has happened in this case. And my perspective is that when enough people get killed by bears, then public attitudes will change, and they'll decide that they need to keep those bears away from where people are. But right now, those who worship the Earth goddess Gaia have prevailed.
Yeah.
And you know, the wild animals are wonderful, and I think Disney had a lot to do with this. You know, and Yogi and Boo Boo, which just taught people this completely invalid concept of how wild animals exist and how they react with people.
Well, you know,
we have many tragedies in the United States as well.
Well, I mean, but in part of the article now, you mentioned how bears are sort of they're flourishing, aren't they? I mean, they're making a rebound. If they were low in population, they're making a rebound, right?
Oh, they are, definitely. Because if you don't hunt the bears and there's lots of human food supplies around, what stops the bears from flourishing? Their biggest danger is from other bears. Male bears of all species, well, the ones I'm familiar with, polar bears, it appears, it's hard to get as much data on polar bears, but certainly grizzly bears and black bears, is the mature males kill as many young bears, not just males, as any kind of young bear, as they can catch. And they often eat them. They often eat young bears. But often they just kill them because they don't want competition around. I had a whole article on that just a few weeks ago because a big male grizzly bear killed off a bear that people had been watching for a while, and it all happened on a nature game camera that was live video, and people saw it happen.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, how horrible. A bear killed a younger bear. Well, that's the normal chain of events. The biggest predator of young bears is mature other bears, particularly mature boar bears and male bears. And so if they have plenty of food, they will expand their population until something stops them. And I predict that it will be people who will say, oh, you know, these bears aren't as friendly as we thought. And in Europe, of course, it's much harder to carry a weapon to defend yourself. I'm not even sure if you can get bear spray in large parts of Europe. I mean, they don't let you carry firearms, and in a lot of places they don't even let you carry a pocket knife, I understand. Certainly not in England.
Yeah. Hang on right there. Coming up on the break, talking to Dean Weingarten as we do. We will be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We'll be right back. Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
All right, welcome back. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We were just talking about bears in Europe.
Yeah, and what we see is that bears have been in Europe for a long time, and that the bears, and they're essentially genetically the same as grizzly bears in the United States. In the lower 48 of the United States, grizzly bears are very aggressive because they haven't been hunted for decades, for several generations of bears, and they're not afraid of people. And so just 2,000 grizzly bears in the lower 48 kill as many people as the 40,000 or so grizzly bears in Alaska. And in Europe, the grizzly bears, because people would kill them off when they became a pest, became very shy, and they would stay away from people as much as possible and stick to the remote mountains. And so they gained a reputation being harmless because they'd stay away from people. Well, now they are repopulating places like northern Italy and the Alps with more grizzly bears, and the bears are becoming more aggressive because nobody hunts them anymore. So that's pretty much what's happening with bears around the world. Bear populations are expanding. Human populations are expanding. You get conflict between the two. And surprise, when a big, powerful bear meets a human without any weapons, the human tends to lose. And well, then the bear loses afterwards.
Right. So before we move on to this, you know, this isn't a new thing. I mean, you and I talked about this briefly last time about the bear in Japan.
Right.
That basically right. took out, how many people did that bear take out? I mean,
I'm trying to remember. It was quite a few. It wasn't just one or two, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I need to get better prepared and reread that so I can tell you specific details on it. But it was a whole village was terrorized by this bear, and they lost quite a few people. And the bear just kept coming back. And finally, I think a hunter in Japan that was willing to kill a bear, you know, took care of the problem.
So it was a Yusuri brown bear. This happened in November of 1915.
Yeah, and the brown bears there in Japan, I think they're just a subspecies of this European brown bear.
Right.
They're essentially a grizzly bear. But yeah. Well, and they're big and they're dangerous, and if they learn not to fear humans, bad things happen.
This bear came out of hibernation and just went looking to eat, didn't it?
Well, and that's the thing that you see, and it's not real common. Sometimes bears don't have enough food when they go into hibernation. They haven't been able to put on enough weight. And then they wake up really hungry. And there isn't a lot of food around for them in the middle of winter.
Right.
So we saw this happen in that really tragic Canadian case where that young mother and her about, I think it was a one-year-old child or so, were up at a trapper's cabin in the Northwest Territories of Canada, as I recall. And a grizzly bear that was absolutely desperate and dying, you know, it had no hunger, I mean, had no food in it, had no fat, and it was just starving to death. And it came across those two and ambushed them and killed them and was eating them. And then the husband came back and saw the tracks of the bear and realized there was a potential problem. He found that his wife had left the cabin and hadn't come back, and he backtracked on it, and the bear, the husband was armed. He had a rifle. When the bear charged him at very close distances, he was able to just dispatch the bear right there and kill it. And then, tragically, it's hard to imagine how horrific this must be to kill a bear and then find that you're a couple hours too late and your wife, young wife and child, have been killed and fed upon by that bear just within a short distance from your cabin.
Well, but, I mean, this apparently went on for what? This went on for what? Let me see.
The one in Japan you talked about did go on
5 days. 5 days of this.
Yeah.
5 days of this. So, I mean, and they've got a life-size rendition of the bear, which they have a human, some sort of helmet for a human for scale. That was a big bear.
Yes. Well, that makes sense. And people don't realize that there is a lot of Japan that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, they've got a high-density population, but it's concentrated in the big cities,
right,
which are all on the coastline, as I understand. And, of course, Japan is quite mountainous islands, and the mountains get quite high, and you get up in these remote islands. Remote mountains, there's no people there, very few. You can find that there are, because Japan now has a declining population, there are empty houses all over Japan,
right,
in the rural areas that go for cheap. The So, you know, it costs a lot to keep them up, which is why nobody's repairing them. And if you do get one of these houses and decide to live there, you're in a rural area of Japan, which probably doesn't have a lot of services you might want. So the houses go begging, and they fall apart and rot. And there's more and more areas in Japan where there are significant wildlife. And there are people in Japan who hunt that wildlife, but they have to get a lot of permits from the government in order to be able to own a rifle and go out hunt wildlife. But it's not completely impossible. Some people do it.
I wonder if there's any bear mutations happening in that in those zones where they had a lot of radiation.
That's a good question.
I've heard about boars.
I think in Japan, all those zones are right on the coast. So it'd be probably more likely that you'd get some sea lice that would be mutated.
Right.
And the bears, my understanding is they're all up in the mountains. So there's probably good separation between the bears and the radioactivity. And my understanding, and I have studied nuclear reactions and the radiation that results from the nuclear reactors and stuff a bit, and I will... The level of radiation there certainly above what would have been considered background or normal. But we usually don't see mutations that are viable. Most mutations from radiation, they just aren't viable. They just die. I'm not saying you can't get accelerated mutations that happen, but it's just not very common or likely for the more complicated animals like people. Mammals and large mammals. I mean, you can get people, you can get things that happen. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just not real likely in that area. I mean, where we were more likely to see it was probably at Chernobyl, you know, which is now under military contention between Ukraine and Russia. And, you know, it was occupied by Russian troops for weeks, as I recall. And the Russian commander there, I mean, you got to give him some credit. He said, well, they're not going to shell the Chernobyl reactor, so I can have a safe headquarters here. But then he went and had his troops dig fortifications out in the contaminated area, and a lot of them are reported to have gotten sick from radiation poisoning.
Hang on for me, if you will. We'll be right back. Yeah. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA News Update. The man accused in Wednesday's mass shooting in Atlanta facing now five charges. 24-year-old Deion Patterson charged with one count of murder and four counts of aggravated assault. He allegedly opened fire in the waiting room of a medical facility, killing one woman and injuring four others. The bell is ringing on Wall Street with stocks lower as fears about the banking sector return. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 286 points to 33,127. The S&P 500 fell by 21 points to 4061. And the Nasdaq dropped by 58 points to 11,966. Ed Sheeran has been found not liable in his copyright infringement case. While on the stand, Sheeran said he would quit the business if he were found guilty. And today said,
I'm obviously very happy with the outcome of the case.
days, and it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all.
Dave Collins, USA News.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Welcome back. We are talking to Dean Weingarten from Ammoland, except he's in northern Wisconsin right now, which he's always from Ammoland. So let's look at this. This is a look at Delaware. Delaware federal district judge finds unusual way to ban semi-auto guns and magazines. Tell me about this.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because this judge, his name is Richard Andrews, he's in the District of Delaware. He's a federal judge. And he looks at how the Bruin decision affects the Second Amendment. Well, it affects the enforcement of the Second Amendment. And he's really twisting around trying to figure out how he can find a way to keep the Delaware law as constitutional under Bruin. And under Bruin, Judge Clarence Thomas, who wrote the opinion, said, if the conduct by the individual falls under that which is protected by the Second Amendment, then you don't go to a second step. You just say, well, it's protected. And the only way that you can then justify regulation of it is if you can show that at the time the Second Amendment was passed in 1791, and maybe a little bit of 1868 when the 14th Amendment was ratified, if you can show that that type of regulation was well accepted and general and people said, yeah, well, that doesn't fall under the Second Amendment. Everybody understands that at the time. So the judge looks at it and he says, that the rifles and magazines that hold more than 70 rounds, they're not unusual and dangerous, and they are in common use, and that would ordinarily be enough to say, okay, they are protected by the Second Amendment. But he goes to a different rationale. He says that, well, it's technological changes that have been dramatic, and those implicate unprecedented societal concerns, therefore we can ban them.
Okay.
I don't think the Supreme Court, I just don't think the Supreme Court's going to buy that. And he looks at history, but it's late history. He looks at history from after 1900, which the Supreme Court basically said, no, anything after 1900 is not relevant because it's way after the Second Amendment was adopted. And then he looks to regulation on the concealed carry of Bowie knives, which there were a lot. And Bowie knives, I've read these laws, and they're pretty vague. Turns out just about any knife will qualify under a Bowie knife regulation. And several states banned the concealed carry of Bowie knives. But he finds that since several states banned the concealed carry of Bowie knives, therefore we can ban the ownership of semi-automatic rifles and pistols. It really doesn't hold up. I mean, banning concealed carry is a lot different from banning ownership. And I haven't found any of the states that actually banned ownership of Bowie knives. Now, there were a couple of states, one state that I can think of that basically said, if you have a Bowie knife and we are taxing people on private property, then we're going to include that Bowie knife as private property that we tax, and we're going to tax it so much. And pretty stiff taxes for the time, you know, like half the value of a Bowie knife would be taxed. But that only held up for a short while in one state. It might have been two over time, and they just dropped that. I mean, it's not too hard to hide a Bowie knife, and how is the tax person going to be sure whether you have it or not? So I guess they just depended on the honor system. Do you have a Bowie knife? Okay, here's the tax. Pay it. But that seems a lot different than a ban on the ownership of rifles that are very commonly owned in the United States. I've also seen Judge Andrew, he doesn't seem to be taking this tack, but I've seen another judge recently take a tack that said that you can't have this semi-automatic rifle because it's a good military weapon. And the Second Amendment doesn't have anything to do with the military.
Right.
I mean, that's, but for 80 years, leftists and progressives particularly have been saying the Second Amendment is only about military arms. Well, now the judges are putting some teeth into the Second Amendment and saying, yes, it really does protect an individual right. Suddenly the progressives are saying, well, it doesn't really apply to any military arms. And it's, you know, I think Andrew took the right tack on here because the Bowie knives definitely were considered useful in military combat. And heck, classic Marine combat knife, I think it's the K-bar. Many people would say that's a classic Bowie knife.
Right.
And so this whole, it strikes me that these judges that want to figure out a way to regulate arms under the Second Amendment are just trying to find what the courts called means-ways test. That is, we want this to happen, so we're going to find out a way to make it happen.
Right.
In other words, the judge is just saying, I don't like guns, therefore we got to figure out a way to be able to ban them. And that's what I see many of these cases where judges try to come up with some way to ban items they don't like.
Well, that's...
And there's just a whole bunch of these cases in. I've written about a lot of them. Several state cases. All of these are coming up to the higher courts. Most of them will probably be appealed to the various circuit courts in which they exist. I mean, we have cases coming up in the Fifth Circuit and the Ninth Circuit and the Third Circuit and the Second Circuit and the Seventh Circuit. I don't know for sure if we got a case. I think in the Third Circuit, there's one coming up. By listening to that. I think that's New Jersey, maybe. If I missed a circuit in there, you can tell me. I don't recall. Oh, yeah, in the Eighth Circuit, we had at least a bump stock case. I don't know if that's still in play or not. But, I mean, there's just all these cases. It's getting to be so many of them that it's not that easy to keep track of them.
Right. Right. I know.
And I think this judge, Andrews, in Delaware, I think he will be overturned. I think he's just clearly out of line in saying that he's basically doing a version of what I call the that was then, this is now argument. Well, the Second Amendment was a long time ago. Therefore, we can ignore it. That was then. This is now.
Right.
I don't think it will fly.
Yeah. So, coming up on the last break, and this article is, let's see, when was this put up there? This got put up there on the 28th of April, so it is near the top of the page, if not on the front page, depending on how things have been going at Ammoland. If not, then you can get it at Ammoland by going to all contributors and looking for Dean's name and going there. Then you'll find 2,200 plus other articles by Dean waiting for you right there at Ammoland.com. All of them, by the way, still poignant today, still meaning something today, especially that whole bear database he's built. This should actually be a book of some sort. We should be reviewing a book. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Last time on the firing line, we're talking to Dean Weingarten, and we're going back in time a little bit. This is an interesting article we never got to touch on back from the 24th of April. This is the history of bans of weapons or of arms, and this is all going back before 1900. What did you find?
Well, this is a Law Review article that was published by David Koppel and Joseph Greenlee. It's 165 pages long. This is essentially a book. It is huge. And the research that Koppel and Greenlee did. Now, Koppel is well known as one of the foremost experts on Second Amendment law and jurisprudence and the history, particularly of Second Amendment and what preceded it. And this is 165 pages of dense discussion about bans on arms, weapons bans that existed from medieval Europe in England all the way up to 1900. And what makes this particularly important is the Supreme Court in the Bruin decision, as we discussed in the last segment, said that if you're going to justify a modern firearms law that implicates actions protected by the Second Amendment, you have to show that it was accepted and continued and was generally used at the time that the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791. Or you might go a little further into when the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868. And Clarence Thomas and the Senate, I mean, basically they said, and don't even think about going anywhere beyond 1900. So this article covers that entire period, and it looks at all of the arms. It's exhaustive. It's incredible in the detail. They cover every statute that existed in medieval Europe, medieval England, all the way through the colonies, all the way through the Civil War, all the way through to 1900 for all the states, and even some, I think there are some localities below state level that they cover for bans on weapons, all weapons. And now for someone who studies this a lot, which I do, and I have, and I've read enormously, you know, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of pages on this, there were things in there that I had not heard of, which shows you how well they did this research. This is a tour de force of academic research on the precursors and on statutes affecting Second Amendment rights. And one of the things that absolutely stood out to me was that King James I in 1606 granted to members of the Virginia Charter
Now, this is when they founded the Virginia colony in the New World, in what's now the United States. And that the Virginia colony covered roughly about a third of the original 13 colonies, maybe a little more. That when that charter was granted, it included to the members of the Virginia colony, people who lived there, perpetual rights to bring sufficient shipping, furniture of armor, weapons, ordnance, powder, victual, and other things necessary for the said plantations and for their use and defense there. In other words, the members of the Virginia colony had the right to keep and bear arms before England generally did, because that right came about with the Glorious Revolution. I think it was in 1689. So, by the way, the northern colonies, the New England colonies, were also granted the perpetual rights to arms and armor and weapons and such. So they constituted about a third of the landmass of the future United States in the northern colonies. And so there were only the middle colonies, which were New York, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and New Jersey. And they were originally part of a colony of the Netherlands. They're called New Netherlands, and they were conquered in 1664. So most of the colonists in the United States, in the future United States, already had the right to bear arms. And it preceded the right to bear arms as a formal declaration of the English Bill of Rights in 1689. So that was fascinating to me, because it showed that when the colonists, who knew their history very well, said, "We are being denied our rights as Englishmen," they had better and more rights to arms than the people in England did, because it had been granted to them in perpetuity by an English king. Now, there's some other things that just fascinating. That was just one of the first things that popped out. I mean, if you're interested in the histories of the legislation was accepted back then, you will find incredible detail of this. Starting on page 37, they talk about this in excellent, excellent history on repeating arms. And I found out about a repeating system of flintlock arms that was in use for 100 years, called the Lorenzani system, which I didn't know about before. And, of course, they talked about the Girondani air rifle, which I had known about. And it goes into great detail about the people's right to privately owned cannons, that there's all about Americans privately owning cannons before and during the Revolutionary War. And the particular case is just a fascinating, wonderful case about a man named Allen, who's an American. He must have been pretty well off, because he purchases 20,000 muskets. That is a lot of muskets.
Indeed.
And 24 field pieces, cannon, in France. And he's having them shipped to the United States. Now, that's a significant amount of arms there. And this occurred in 1796. So that's 5 years after the Bill of Rights was ratified with the Second Amendment. And the British, they stopped this ship. Now, we were an independent country at the time, but they stop it and they say, "You're taking all those muskets and you're taking those cannon to Vermont to be used in a revolt in Canada against the British." And he says, "No, I'm not." And he said, "They're just for private use in Vermont." And he was in the court, you know, British Admiralty Court, and says, "In America, arms and military stores are free merchandise. So anybody who has property and choose to put
make the gardens into artillery parks and the houses into arsenals, they can do it. And the court restored those arms to that American citizen and sent him back on his way. Now that says an awful lot about the state of the Second Amendment.
Indeed.
In 1796. So I urge anybody who has the inclination to dig deep into the history of how the Second Amendment was perceived and what the various laws were of the period to read this article. Now, you get a good taste of it in the review I did on Amolet, but the article itself, I mean, that's a fair-sized book, 165 pages.
Yeah. Indeed it is. Well, we're running out of time. That worked out perfectly, and I appreciate you taking the time to get somewhere where you could do this. I know that on the road is sort of difficult, so thank you very much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure, Bill, and I look forward to doing more in the future.
Very good. Well, we'll be doing it again this coming Friday. So, anyway, check out Dean's stuff at ammoland.com. Just go down to all contributors, click on that. He is midway down on the left-hand side, Dean Weingarten. 2,200 plus articles for you. I'll be back in about 21 hours in between now and then. If you'd be so kind, you should absolutely remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.